for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I'm in Chicago tonight, coming to you from our affiliate, Q101, out here in Chicago.
Ooh, Vic must be there with you.
Yes. Trusty engineer Vic is here holding down the fort. I was in Chicago this week doing this, actually this weekend, doing this celebrity all-star legends softball game, which was a lot of fun. We did it tonight. And Drew's back in L.A. sweltering in the miserable heat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot louder than you are, Drew. Is that how it always is?
To me, you're a lot yeah, you're a little louder than I am. But yeah, that's the way it always is.
All right. I think Vic's going to adjust that a little bit. But, yeah, we had a good time today. We went, I'll tell you, if you guys ever get a chance to play a softball game on a major league ballpark diamond at
well,
night
who
with the lights on.
Come on, who doesn't?
25,000 people there. I highly recommend it. It's a
wow.
good time.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on, by the way, and I mean, the baseball all-stars were like Willie McCovey and Fred Lynn and Dave Winfield and Ozzie Smith and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
I mean, it was like a crazy who's who of baseball celebrities. I mean, you know, probably had six or seven Raleigh Fingers was there.
Oh, my God.
Like six or seven Hall of Famers in the group.
Wow.
And you know, the thing, a couple of things struck me about these guys. First off, they're all still in really solid shape.
Huh.
I mean, they can play, you know, they weren't fat. They all looked sort of well-rested and tanned, and they all look good.
They aren't that old. They're 50s, right?
Well, some of them, I mean, some of the guys, if, I mean, there's guys like Bo Jackson are probably 30. 36, you know.
Yeah.
It's still, saw him nude, by the way.
Oh, that's nice. How was it?
It was a delight.
Stellar.
For the eyes and the nose. No, I mean, the guy's built like a brick F house. Yeah, I was going to say S house, but that wasn't enough. And then guys like Dave Winfield. Dave Winfield played outfield for the Yankees for quite a number of years. Dave Winfield's about 6'6", about 270.
Wow.
And a mammoth. You know, Dave Winfield is the only guy to ever get drafted professionally for football, baseball, and basketball.
Wow.
How would you like that? I know. I mean, he got professionally drafted in all three major sports.
Did he play anything besides baseball?
No, he just chose to play baseball, I guess. But that was sort of back in the day where you picked your sport and you kind of stuck with it. And I guess it's smart because, you know, you end up doing what Bo Jackson did, which is you blow your hip out playing professional football and that's it. But it was a gas. I mean, just all the lights on, the field all lit up, and everybody out there. It was a beautiful, beautifully groomed field and had a good time. Robbed a guy of a home run.
Ooh.
Over the fence.
Wow.
The ball would have gone out of the park.
And you jumped up and got it.
Brian McKnight hit it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hit about 200 and change. The ball was going to... Ball. Yeah, he's a big guy.
He is a big guy.
Oh, big whoop.
Nice
ball
guy.
Ball was going out of the park. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to see this game, it's on ESPN tomorrow night after the home run derby.
All right, fair enough.
And lots of hijinks with Big A and Kimmel in there, too. So good times. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're going to take some calls. Here is, hold on here. I want to take Stanley, who's 22. Stanley.
Hi, what's up?
Well, hey. You tell us.
Well, I've heard you guys talk a lot about tattoos and piercings and how people are sometimes kind of messed up when they want to get lots of piercings and tattoos.
Mm. Yep.
Now, my spin on it is that I don't really want any piercings or tattoos, but I find myself attracted to people with piercings and tattoos.
We had this call a couple of weeks ago, and Adam, both you and I realized, we thought that we'd never spoken to anybody who was attracted to the tattoos and piercings. You know what I mean? Not really.
Yeah. I mean, we thought we talked to people that were kind of effed up, had tons of piercings and tats themselves, and were attracted to other circus freaks.
Right.
But we... but not anyone who is completely clean and into it, unless that just means somehow that they're open for business. You know what I mean?
Stanley?
Well, yeah. That's the same thing I was thinking. I was thinking I'd heard a million times how other people were into doing it to themselves, but never a call from someone who was...
No. Adam was asking whether or not...
Stan's thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Stan, so what? Good. Enjoy.
Okay. There we go.
All right. You find someone with a nice tongue stud, get some hellacious oral. It's all good. Stanley really didn't have a question.
It didn't seem like it. It was
kind of a half a statement, yeah. And he was distracted.
Yeah. It's Lauren 15. Lauren?
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing. I have like these death and blood fetishes, and I was just wondering how someone would get those, or.
Well, yeah. Specifically, what are you talking about? What happens?
It's like just like seeing blood or tasting it or blood injury. It just gets me hot, you know.
Blood injury. How's that go?
You know, it's like you get an injury, like a cut or something, and you bleed.
Right, but. So you're saying even if it's not self-induced, if you were driving down the street and a guy got in a motorcycle accident and he was there by the side of the road bleeding, would that be exciting to you?
Yeah.
No.
It would be.
No.
Yeah.
Why do you say no, Drew?
Oh, yeah,
it sounds bogus.
Yeah.
No, it's not bogus.
All right, well, what's up with you? Did you get beaten or something?
No, I don't know what.
All right. Well, Drew, I think we're off to like a full moon.
It is full moon, by the way.
Yeah. Hence the weirdos.
But thanks a lot.
Well, listen, let's face it, sweetie. That's putting it mildly, you being a weirdo.
Well, yeah, I mean, it started like around puberty, so.
Okay.
Do you self-cut?
What?
Do you cut?
Sometimes.
You cut on yourself?
Yeah.
Are you aroused by that?
Yeah.
And you go see horror films, things like that, because those are arousing to you?
Yeah.
Do you have any feelings about menstruating or anything? Is that do anything that's funny for you?
Sometimes.
Weirds me out a little. Hey, you have a boyfriend?
I used to.
All right.
How was that?
That would be no.
Yeah.
And do you think you could have a relationship with a guy and not get in any bloodletting and enjoy yourself, or would you have to have it take a turn?
I really don't know. I haven't, had sex or anything.
You're virgin?
Yeah.
Okay. So, were you ever beaten or anything like that?
Not that I can remember.
Sexual abuse?
No.
All right. Adam, well, then get
Adam,
over it.
Adam, sexual abuse?
No. All right, listen. Then just get over it. You're virgin, right?
Right.
All right. Go talk to a shrink, then. Listen, here's the whole... What?
I already talked to a shrink. All they're telling me is just like, all they're saying is it's just something like a stage. That's all.
All right.
Yeah, there's various theories about this kind of thing that the
blood. It's a stage that lasts 70 years.
Yeah, this is not the typical cutter by any means. This is a true sort of blood fetish, and there's all kinds of crazy theories about it. The reality is no one knows for sure what causes these things, so.
But doesn't it always have to mean, like, screwed up childhood?
Oh, it means screwed up in some way, yeah.
Okay. Oh, here's the deal, everybody. I don't know if Lauren's still listening or not, but look, everyone has impulses that are, my impulse is to scratch my ass vigorously and then sniff it.
No.
But I don't do it when I'm on TV, for instance.
You wait till the camera stop rolling.
I wait till the camera stops. No, I don't do it in front of large groups.
Usually.
I don't do it. But here's what I'm saying. There's all sorts of impulses. There's all sorts of things you want to do, but you don't do them because they're not right, and you'll be judged, and they're unhealthy. Treat this as one of those things.
Thank you. Thank you. Courtney, 17.
Well,
yes, you're right.
Well, what other advice you want to...
No, nothing more you can do.
I think we get into too much psychobabble about stuff.
Yeah,
it's just like, look, stop it. It's not good for you, it's not good for society, and it's gonna be hard for you. All right.
Courtney.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. First, can I thank you guys? I've been listening to you for about 2 years, and because of you, I left my abusive mother. I went to a shelter, and now I'm in a foster home. And so it's just been...
Really speak up, Courtney. Can't hear you.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you because I listened to you guys. I left an abusive household and I went to a shelter and now I'm in a foster home. It's just been really good.
Oh, great. What was going on at home?
Actually, my mother was locked me in the bathroom for about the past 2 years was about October 2001, and...
Whoa, slow down. You
2 years?
Tossed that off as though she'd made you, toast for breakfast. She locked you in the bathroom for 2 years?
Yeah, and I used to listen to you guys every night sometimes.
She locked you in the bathroom for 2 years?
Yeah.
How did you eat?
She would let me out for dinner. At first, she'd let me have it 3 times, then it just went down to once a day.
Was she arrested?
No, she is. She's gone missing. At first, they just took away me. Then a couple of days there, they took away my brother and put him straight into foster care. I'm in a wheelchair, so it was easier to place him. And now she's gone missing. And now she's, like, there's been a couple of hearings. In the last hearing, she claimed that I'm Apache so that she could stall for time to try and buy time so that she can do whatever she needs to do.
Where was your dad?
Hold on a second. She claimed she was Apache?
Yeah, I mean, it's so freaking weird. She hasn't talked about him my whole life. Every time I mention him, she gives me a look like, mention him and you die. So now she said in court, at least this is why I'm here, and I still have to talk to my DA. She said that I'm part Apache, and my foster mom, she told me that one of her little babies that she has, her mother tried the same thing, and it's just to buy time because they have to check it by law. They have to check each and every record.
What does her being Apache do for her other than time? What's the point?
It buys time because they have.
I understand they have to check it out, but what's the point that she's trying to make about being an Apache?
Because I'm almost 18, so if she can just wait. Maybe if she can stop.
No, Courtney.
I don't know
why.
Other than declaring she's an Apache.
Why does that buy you time?
No, I don't want to know
her
that.
Time.
Because they have to check it out. It takes a long time to check the records.
Why do you have to buy? Why do you have to check the records out if someone claims they're Apache anymore? And if they check their Eskimo when they're trying?
Because they have to prove it in court. And by the meantime, she turns 18, the mom is off the hook, kind of thing.
And she can keep my little brother.
Right.
I know, but hold on.
Why is being an Apache defend her against prosecution for having locked her child and imprisoned her child?
I don't know.
Why would you even bring it up? Why would they even care at the court? Like, fine, you're Apache, whatever. Let's get on with it.
Okay.
Oh, I know, Drew. That's what I said 10 minutes ago, and you said, well, because they got to check it out and buy some time.
Why do they have to check it out? Why do they care
is
my question.
That's the question you should have been asking.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Again. All right, so anyway, you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
How come?
We're in a wheelchair.
That's part of the question. When I was 6, I was paralyzed in a playground accident.
What happened?
You want the whole story?
The 10-second version.
Okay, I was pushed off the jungle gym because it was built shoddy.
Okay.
Construction workers were skimming money off the top, so they put concrete and covered up with mulch.
You got pushed off a jungle gym. That's fine.
And then I got a bruise on my spine. The nurse, instead of taking me to the hospital, she put me in a cubicle. It happened at 10 in the morning. I didn't get help until past 2. So I was just stuck in the thing, just screaming as my legs swole. I now have a flat bladder because it nearly tore. I was just wondering, could the injury, could the injury cause a depression?
Having an injury like that can make you depressed, but being imprisoned by your mom and having
locked,
your mom
in a wheelchair and locked in the bathroom, depressing.
Forget the back injury, just being in a wheelchair and locked in a bathroom.
I know, that's habitational because I certainly have been feeling better since I've left that environment. Completely 360. But I was wondering,
180. 360
bring
you back where you were. You're back in the bathroom at 360.
Sorry, that was completely retarded.
Sorry.
I'm talking about biological effect.
I understand.
The endorphins damage, could it damage the stuff? Could it, self-destruct the machine?
No.
Not.
It's all your mom. All your horrible childhood.
Yeah, you have plenty of reasons to be depressed without having to draw up a biological explanation.
Okay.
And if you had the most pristine upbringing and were not depressed about having a disability, it probably wouldn't cause anything. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So the thing is, she's out of the bathroom. She's in foster care.
Doing better.
It's doing better.
Yeah.
That's what we like to hear.
Thank you.
We don't care what percentage of Apache your mom is.
But we do want your mom punished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we really do.
Where's she calling from, by the way?
Gilroy, California.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was some sort of thing that if you were, maybe if you're a certain percentage American Indian, that you have to be tried by some council of elders or something.
Yeah, who knows?
Lock in bathroom. need a heap of wampum for attorney. All right.
Michael's 25. Michael.
Yes. Yeah.
Go.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good.
You guys
good.
Have a great show, man.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you guys, for about the past 4 years, I've been having sex, and let's say about two to three times a week, right before that point, you know, I would press on a spot beneath my testicles, and it would stop from anything going out. And I want to know if that's actually, like, safe, or if it's going to have some type of long-term, you know, effect.
You would do that while you were alone?
No. Well, I was with the girl. You know?
What's the goal? Why are you doing that?
So nothing would actually, you know, come out. And I know that's not going to stop her from getting, you know, from getting
pregnant.
Possibly going to stop. Yeah.
But is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to use that as a contraceptive?
No. Not at all. Just
why are you doing it?
Cleanliness reasons.
Cleanliness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's next to godliness, except for the part where you put your index finger up your ass.
Wow.
Then it gets out of the realm of godliness.
Wow.
What is that? And what is, I mean, look, I understand not wanting to, you know, have your belly look like a seagull crapped on it when you're done with your business. But that sort of part where right in the middle of the best part of the sex, you take your finger and you're shoving it around and you're giving yourself this, like, retrograde thing. That just seems like an undue distraction in the part where you least want to be distracted.
Well, it's actually where, I mean, half the time it'll be me, then half the time it's, you know, her. But it's a spot right beneath the actual boys, and then she'll press right there, and it stops anything.
What is she? When? What is her goal in stopping it?
Well, it's just, I mean, whether it's actual intercourse or oral.
Ah, okay, there's her motivation. You got that, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like a smokeless cigarette.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, that starts to make some sense. Well, anyway, we don't know that it's going to hurt anything. We had a urologist up here a couple weeks ago, Jennifer Berman, who never heard of this before.
Oh, really? She hadn't heard of it?
Well, she had trouble, like, even processing it. What? Huh? What? I don't know.
Well, it doesn't make sense to most humans.
Yeah, it's a retrograde ejaculation. The ejaculate goes into the bladder, basically. It's certainly not good for you, but we don't know that it's bad for you.
Okay.
All right.
That'll work.
All right.
Yeah, but here's the caveat. If you when something is coming out of your body, number one, number two, a sneeze, whatever it is, a cough or semen, and you stop it over the long haul, it's not going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't be.
Colleen, 18.
Your body's not designed that way.
That's right. Yeah, you.
Hi, I've been going out for this boy for about a year. Well, not boy, but he's like 20. And, I'm not liking him anymore, and I've been cheating on him quite a bit. And he's pretty much in love with me, and I'm not. And he's, like, relying on me to, like relying on me so much that, like, I made him stop, like, smoking cigarettes and smoking weed and doing, like, hardcore drugs and stuff. So he said if I ever break up with him that he'd probably, like, fall apart and, like, maybe kill himself or maybe, like, you know, totally go downhill.
How long has this been going on, this relationship?
A year.
Why are you out of love with him? Because he quit doing all those things you were trying to get him to quit?
No.
There's nothing less to do?
I don't know. I'm not interested in him. He's not even attractive to me anymore, really. It's just,
yeah. He's not a bad boy anymore. He's in love with you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Colleen.
Yeah, she's 18. She's hot. She got a guy who was kind of a bad boy. He was doing some drugs. He was doing some smoking, some drinking.
Well, no, he stopped.
Yeah.
That's the point. That's why you're not. That's right. That's why you're not into him anymore.
No, that's not why. Well,
yeah.
I just want to know how I can let him go. Like,
Adam, make her listen to you.
That doesn't matter. You gotta cut him loose any way you look at it.
If he needs help. If he needs help, get him to help so there's a caretaking team to receive him.
Whether it's what, if he wants to kill himself?
Yeah, whether it's a professional help or a 12-step program, see to it that he gets somewhere. Then it's really out of your hands. Colleen, you can't be responsible for his feelings, okay? And we can't magically take him away from your make him go away. You've gotten yourself into this thing. If you want to do what's right, otherwise just dump him come what may. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be a bad thing for him. if you have any compassion left, then see to it that he gets into hands that can handle him when he falls apart when you leave, because you can't be responsible for his feelings.
Hold on. How's she going to make sure? She's 18. What's she going
to
do?
She got him to do all these things. Okay, look, you seem to need some help.
Now, look. How do you get him into a team? How do you get arrange a team to take care of him, Drew?
A psychiatrist would take care of
him. She doesn't know a psychiatrist. She doesn't know. She's 18. She doesn't know anything.
Well, I just wonder if I could break up with him so easily, or something, some certain time or some place or somehow.
Here's what you need to do. You need to, do it over the phone.
What?
Forget about. You know what? This whole you owe it to do it to me in person kind of thing, that's just the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
Hey, why do you need to do it in person? And let me just put this out there with everybody. If you want to break up with me, if you want to fire me, if you want to do anything bad, do it over the phone. Just pick up the phone and call me. Hmm. I don't want to meet you somewhere for lunch and have 45 minutes of uncomfortable conversation before we get to the reason we both went to lunch for, and then another 45 minutes of a public display of, morose and crying, and it's humiliating. Just do it over the phone. But here's what I think you need to do. I think you need to say, we are breaking up, and there's zero chance we're ever going to get back together, and I know that sounds cruel, and I know you hate me, and I think as the years wear on, you'll appreciate that I did it this way. I'm sorry. That is it. There's no way we're ever getting back together. Drew, don't you wish someone would have done that with you many years ago?
If you're going to break up, you must leave no possibility of any doors open, period.
Yeah. Right.
That is essential.
However, as a
human being, you've created kind of a monster here.
Yeah.
Well, it's not her fault.
Well, she had to go make this guy so dependent on her. I mean, it's not her fault, but she has done it. And if she really has a sort of a ethical compass, I would think she'd want to sort of hand off at least. If her motivation for getting this guy better was to get him better, not to do something for herself, she should still be focused on that and make sure he falls into the hands of people that can keep him better when you leave.
What do you mean falls into the hands?
Gets into the hands.
That can get him.
Gets into
how does that work? It's unrealistic.
Like his friends or something that could just be like something backup,
Well, at the very minimum, because
maybe like another girl or
no, I mean like he's gonna
another
need
a girl. I like your style though, Cookie.
I like with
someone
girl.
set me up with somebody when they dump me.
Yeah.
Okay. You break up in no uncertain terms. If he says I'm gonna kill myself or I can't
then
live without you,
call the police.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's it. Period.
Yeah.
And I mean, you get the police there, pick him up, then he gets in the hands that can help him.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Drew, what do you? She's 18.
Listen.
What do you think she's got? She has a team of psychiatrists she's going to dispatch in the psych van over to the guy's house?
It's possible.
You know I'm right.
Hey,
you're right on paper, but who cares? That's not good for anything.
She really has meddled in somebody's life and created.
What do you mean?
She has. She's really created this. She has made this guy very dependent on her. Now she's extremely cavalier. Ah, this guy's
Drew's angry. Drew's look. She's 18. He's 21. This stuff goes on.
He's
all
responsible
the time.
Too. Yeah, of course.
They're together for a year. Hey, when she met him, he was boozing and smoking and doing drugs. Now he's cleaned himself up. So be it.
But he's off drugs. But he's sicker. That's the problem.
All right. True. True. Right, you got to take a look in the mirror, bud.
Adam, you got to relax. We're going to break.
All right. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam, and this is Dr. Drew. I'm going to see myself a little Danish, You travel, you can eat Danish, Drew.
Where'd you get it? Did Vic get some for you?
Man cow. I had it lying around. I don't know. It was sitting somewhere.
That's good.
I tell you, if people would start leaving around poison food, I would die in about 15, 20 minutes.
Aren't their new studios cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I told you.
First off, it's at the Merchandise Mart over here, which we do talk about once in a while, but... for those of you who don't know it, well, a couple things. True. Talk about the merchandise, Mark, for a second.
It's the biggest building in the world other than the Pentagon, as I understand it. And it sits in the middle of Chicago on the river. Strangely, no one in Chicago seems to know it's there or what it is. But it's this giant, giant, beautiful old building in which there's tons of old furniture stores, merchandise stores, and a couple radio stations.
Yeah, and the river runs right by it.
Yeah.
And what river is that?
You know what that Chicago river is?
Chicago River. Is that Chicago River?
Yeah,
makes sense. But here's the deal with Chicago. We were tooling around last night and walking around all day today. It's such a town, you know.
I mean,
it's
town.
The architecture's great. Yeah. The place is clean. There's people walking around.
Yeah.
Like when you're from LA, if someone is walking, they're suspect.
Oh, I mean, they're coming after you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, panhandlers, guys wanting to do your windshield, guys pushing a shopping cart. Like, you don't see normal people walking on the street.
No.
Something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see a normal person walking on the street, it means their car died.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find a payphone or something. But just great architecture, great city, laid out beautifully. You know, the lake's right there. The river runs right through the middle of the town. People are riding bicycles around. I mean, it's just, I know the winters are brutal. I've never experienced them, but I'll take
everyone's
word
for
it.
I've been in the winter. They're not as bad as New England, in my opinion. A little windier, but New England worse.
It's just a great-looking town with some really great old architecture.
Where are you staying?
Four Seasons.
Now, is that thing swaying in the breeze or what? You got that yet?
Yeah.
First night I didn't feel it. Second night all I heard was you hear the creaking as it moves. They give you earplugs.
And, you know, for a guy who likes earplugs, that's that's my kind of hotel.
But I was way up at the top, and I'd roll in bed like on a ship. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's really gorgeous, gorgeous town. I recommend. And it's full of people sort of walking around who live here who seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're like, they're proud of it. They like it.
Yeah.
It's totally different than Los Angeles. Just a bunch of nomadic people who are all sort of pissed off. And LA is just nothing but sort of Mexicans who have sort of, you know, jumped the border. And then just a bunch of a-holes trying to make it in the movie industry.
There you go. That's LA.
Just the number one a-hole from all around the country just end up in LA.
Be fair, those that don't make it to Florida cruise on over here, right?
Different breed.
Okay.
Florida's that sort of waffle-eating, banjo-picking, sort of trying to stay one step ahead of the DA,
here it's the narcissistic a-hole. There it's the no-count a-hole.
Yeah. Florida has deadbeat dads.
Right.
Here we just got a bunch of sort of half-a-fag Hollywood types that really are up to nothing.
Okay.
Nothing but attitude. Right? All right.
Handro 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I recently just got a tattoo, like, about maybe a month ago, and it healed all right and everything. But, like, the thing is, I really, really, like, got addicted to the pain. Like, I would go, like, as much as, like, I could if it wasn't, like, you know, if I knew what I wanted and stuff. But, like, I really liked it. I really liked it. It was, like...
Yeah, you enjoyed it. Yeah, well, there are other forms of pain. I mean, there are other ways you can receive pain.
Yeah.
You know, without leaving such a permanent mark.
But people do get kind of addicted to tattoos, both in terms of, I think they get some sort of psychological gratification well and beyond just the pain. The quality of the pain seems to be something that people can, it arouses endorphin levels for some reason. And I guess the big question, Handro, is do you have alcoholism in your family?
Yeah, I do. That's really weird that you said that. My dad is really addicted to alcohol, too. And
yeah, all right.
It's a problem for me, too.
All right. Well, so this may be part of your alcoholism. If you're really picking up momentum with the alcohol before you go sleeve your arms out, maybe go to some AA meetings, get a sponsor, start talking about this a little bit.
Where's my bourbon?
Maybe this isn't something that's just more a part of your disease than anything else, and maybe you won't be so anxious to do it when you've had a little recovery. This is Andrea, 21. Are you like... building a erector set there? Is between your breathing and the origami you're working on? What is that?
I was trying to get the goddamn page flipped over on my notebook, and it was fighting me. I was like, you know, trying to do it with one hand without putting the mic.
But it sounded like you're doing push-ups all the while.
Well, that's my nose.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm normally a mouth breather, though, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
You were talking earlier about how guys and girls are so different, and, like, women think that guys think the same way we do.
Right. They are so different.
Yeah, yeah, it's not at all the same.
Right.
My boyfriend and I have been together for almost a year, and I know he loves me. My family adores him. He's a great guy. But, like, I've gotten flowers twice, and I had to ask for them both times. And I just want him to do something thoughtful, just one thing, you
yeah.
know?
Just yeah.
Like, I don't know how to get him to do it. One thing would last me, like, 6 months.
You know what? You have to sit him down, because what you feel when you get flowers, there's there's no equivalent experience for the male.
No. I wasn't going to say sex, but it's what we feel when we don't give flowers. That's the equivalent feeling.
See, I mean,
so we got a little standoff going, sweetie.
It doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to. I mean, if he would just plan a date or do something.
I understand it. Listen, I understand it, but it took me 10 years to figure it out. It's so far, it's so foreign to the way a male's mind works in terms of what's satisfying in a relationship. You have to sit down, you have to, like, give him instructions. Like, every 3 months, I need the following in order to feel close in this relationship. You have to be really super ultra clear.
Yeah, I've done that.
You've done that.
I know.
I've asked right. him, and he forgets.
Well, all right, well, then dump him.
Then he may not be able to respond.
He's such a great guy.
Well, then quit complaining.
Then put it on his computer or something to remind him. Something that, you know.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, something that. And not just on the computer, but specific instructions about what he is to do. Flowers,
yeah,
dinner.
But let me explain the fundamental flaw in that thinking, which is women want these sort of spontaneous romantic acts, but if you put it on the guy's computer for the, you know, the 10th of February, it hardly is spontaneous.
No, I disagree. I disagree because
you do.
A guy, all he has to do is pay attention and do those things, actually make the phone calls, make the reservation, and carve out the time and be present. That's it. That's all he's got to do. But to remember to do that when that's something that's so foreign to something you would think would be enjoyable, or not enjoyable, but you need,
Somebody
has to remind you.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what you got to do. You got to get him about halfway there. I agree with Drew. You have an anniversary coming up. You have a birthday coming up. You have something coming up. Put it on the guy's computer or his daily planner or something and tell him, look, you know, 1 month from now, it's going to be our one-year anniversary. Surprise me and don't disappoint me. And give him a chance to do something. But, you know, she just said, he's only got me flowers twice in a year. And each time I had to tell him to get it.
I know.
Which doesn't sound like she's enjoying the flowers much.
I know.
All right. So that's my whole point.
Oh.
Women are tough. Well, let's face it.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend once. I got her. She's a big Tori Amos fan. Like junior producer Lauren.
Yeah.
Not to the point where she could fly to like Sydney and go see.
Like Lauren would.
Yeah, like Lauren would. Yeah, she'd go follow Tori Amos. She'd go on tour with her if she could.
Of course.
See, she practically does. I'm jealous of her, by the way.
Hmm.
But the point is I was doing something on the morning show, and Tori Amos came by. Some fans gave Tori, like, a nice bouquet, and Tori left him behind.
Hmm.
She, like, sniffed him and put him back down again. So I brought him home to my girlfriend. I said, hey, guess what? I got you some flowers. And secondly, guess whose flowers they are? These are Tori Amos's flowers.
Oh.
Not only do you get flowers, but you get it from your idol, Tori Amos.
Oh.
Now she's pissed.
These are those gold dust moments.
She'll reject them totally, I'm sure.
Is a guy like, let's say, like a cordless drill. If my girlfriend brought me a 14-volt cordless drill and said, guess what, Ron Jeremy left this in the studio and I'm giving it to you, I'd be like, oh, my God, we got to get married.
Yeah, you're like,
the greatest woman in the world.
Genius.
Gee, it's free, it's crafty, I got a tool.
It's got a story.
I got a story behind the tool.
Who knows where
this
it's been?
This is win-win-win.
Yeah.
No, not women, no, pissed off. Yeah, they're totally unrealistic that way.
Yeah, all right,
but listen, guys, here's what you got to do. You have to understand that they're that way and just do it. you just do.
Yeah, you can't pretend that's going to go away. It's not going away.
No.
For women. No, doesn't go away.
You know, here's what you got to do, guys. Once, have a picnic. They'll go nuts for a picnic. Do that picnic thing. Tell me you want to go on a picnic this weekend.
Here's Tanya. She's 25. A Danish picnic. I swear I could smell that all the way over here.
What flavor?
A little cheese.
No, try again.
Cherry.
No.
What is it?
Lemon.
Oh, never. Not in a million years. There must have been some garlic in there.
All right.
Tanya, yeah, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I have some left nipple discharge, and it's black and green.
Danish is coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, and it started at Claire in 2002. And then,
my God. You had it for a year?
Yeah, and then about October time, it was bloody.
Why didn't you have it checked?
I have.
Okay,
And they said it's normal.
Did you have a mammogram?
I've had a mammogram. I've had a doctogram, and I've talked to a surgeon, but it turned out to be a general surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me it was normal.
That's good.
Is it normal?
What do you mean a general surgeon? That is who does breast surgery, a general surgeon.
Actually, it's a breast surgeon that does it, doesn't it?
General surgeons are often, many of them specialize in breast procedures, yes.
Okay, because I have a history of breast cancer in the family.
Well, you've had all the screening procedures, the ductogram and the mammogram. That's about all you can do other than remove your nipple and the glands.
No, I don't want to remove the nipple.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. But did they do an endocrine workup to make sure that there's nothing sort of stimulating breast production?
Yeah, my gyno did that.
Okay, so there you go. You've done everything right, and that's just you.
Really?
Yeah.
No, with the
black discharge. The black is just, maybe there's...
It's old blood.
Yeah, it's old blood. Did they ever try antibiotics for you?
Yeah, 10 days of Cipro and 30 days of erythromycin.
Mm.
They told me it was a staph infection.
Well, then it may not be cleared. Maybe the next step is for you to see an infectious disease person because that the green suggests persistent infection.
Yeah. Who are we coming up on? Drew, give us the colors. I mean, if it's coming out of the nipple, anywhere,
yellow is infection. Okay, really.
Yellow's infection.
Yeah, and
what's
white,
green?
White can be. Green can be. But it's from the nose and the throat and whatnot. It doesn't have to be.
All right.
And then black is old blood, usually.
All right.
Brown is blood.
Yeah, good times.
That's a good time, though, huh? Hey, it's time for another break.
Yeah, who's coming up when we come back, Drew?
How about Greg? No.
Yeah?
No.
No? Not Greg?
No.
He hasn't earned it?
No. It's going to be Jason, whose girlfriend wears clothing during sex.
All right.
Huh?
All right, after this. Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm out here in Chicago. Drew back in Los Angeles.
And I have a request. I want to hear the Hizzle for Chizzle little intro from now on every break, the rest of the show.
Really?
For intro. Yeah, why not?
Got it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get Drew's crank anchor tape in here, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll happen.
You know, it was funny. Actually, it'll just be funny for us. It won't be funny for anyone listening. But there's a guy who used to play for the Mets. He was an all-star many years ago. And Jimmy always thought I looked like him. His name was Ed Crane Poole.
Hmm.
Remember that guy, Drew?
I don't.
All right, thanks.
I was not a huge baseball fan, I got to tell you, so go tell me more.
Well, Ed Crane Poole's this sort of all-starry guy from the late 60s, and probably made it into the mid-70s, maybe even late 70s. Had a nice career with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Jimmy has always said I looked like Ed Crane Poole, and it's always just been his own personal little thing. Like,
so, lo and behold, Ed was there today? Is that true?
No.
Okay. So go ahead.
All right. Let's just take some calls. Let's take calls.
Did anybody else understand why that was troubling him?
What? Why? Drew, what if he was there?
That's exciting.
I know, but why would you want to tell everybody he was there if he was there? You ever think about that?
Anderson, can you help me? Or Ann?
You don't understand that?
See, Adam has a memory, so I don't want to get involved because he's back tomorrow night.
Look, go ahead.
See, you were trying to speed the story up, and he wanted to tell it his way, and I could see both sides.
I'm just trying to participate. I'm just trying. If I don't participate, he gets mad at that too. So it's hard. If I said because I just had
well,
said.
Well, first off,
Adam,
Drew,
I just said I don't know baseball, and you got mad at that. So I thought, well, I'm gonna try to get into this conversation.
All right. Well, forget it. But listen, here's my point.
Huh. Yeah.
When are you ever right when you jump ahead on the story?
Never right.
Never.
But it's not about being right. It's about participating.
All right. We can participate by just going, yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. But here's what I'm saying. What if Ed Crane Pool was there?
Then we have a give and take. Then it's like, yes, there he was.
No, then you jump the story.
Yes,
see what I'm saying?
Huh? Yes,
sir, you don't understand that?
Yes, sir, Miss Scroll, I guess.
Yes, sir, Miss Scroll.
Like, if you're telling a story and your wife just jumps ahead to the end.
Yeah, and you go, yes, that's right. He was there.
No, but he wasn't there.
Oh, it sucks.
All right, but anyway, forget the story. Let's move ahead.
All right, this is Jason News 21. Jason?
Yes.
Yes?
I have a question. I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years. When we have sex, she always, it has to be dark, or she wants to, she don't ever take all her clothes off. She, like, leaves her shirt on and wants to be under the covers. Or if it's in the shower or whatever, she has to have the lights off. Yeah, she says it's because she's fat.
You guys have dark sex in the shower? Because that can be dangerous.
Most of the serious accidents in the home happen in the bathroom, you know.
That's right. All right, so listen, Jason. Yeah, she says she thinks she's fat. So that's the reason.
Is she?
No. When I first met her, she weighed like 115, 120, and she's had two kids, so she weighs, I think right now, maybe like 150, 155, maybe.
155.
Yeah, somewhere.
So to her, she doesn't like it.
But she's not big. She looks fine the way she is.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You're 21.
Yes.
How old is she?
20.
She's 20. And when you first met her, she hadn't had any kids. How long ago was that?
She had a kid before when I met her.
Wow.
And now you two had a second kid?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just kicked the trash can over by mistake.
This is one that Jason's kid is one that sent her down, made her bad.
Okay.
And so she doesn't like how she looks is really the issue.
Yes.
Right. Well, does she have an eating disorder? Did she ever have an eating disorder?
No.
Okay. And you've tried reassuring her, tried telling her that it's not something that's an issue for you?
All the time.
And she can't respond. Yeah, you know, although we don't hear about this much on Loveline, it's not an uncommon thing for women to feel that way and to insist upon that sort of thing. And,
not a whole lot you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't know, except maybe ease her into it a little bit, sort of maybe make some candlelight or something that,
strike a compromise.
I've tried everything, man. I mean, just for 2 years, though, I think maybe she would ease up after a while,
How about some night vision goggles, like a military surplus? You see the heat radiating from her vagina? It's all red.
What if you don't?
Oh, yeah. Okay, look, she's somebody who has issues, and those issues need to be addressed, and not really addressed through you trying to look at her naked with the light on, but
just makes it worse.
These are self-image issues that she needs to kind of work on.
Or work on losing the weight and exercising and doing those good healthy things, if it really is that important to her. I'm worried, though, that she has some sort of body dysmorphic disorder, if really she is as okay as you say she is and she doesn't feel so.
Well, what do you think? I know he's on hold, but I'm curious if when she was 115, she let him, she did it with the lights on.
Jason?
Yes.
Did she do it with the lights on when she was 115?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's just this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense to me because, I mean...
Well, she weighs 50% more than she did when you met her.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 160.
160? 160?
Yes.
Yeah. What if you weighed 240? Uh-huh. It's the same thing. She's up 50%.
Here's the beauty of guys. Guys 240, they take their shirt off at the ball game at 65 degrees.
Put a big K on the chest or something.
They use their gut to hold the beer up.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, Jason, we don't have a lot of good ideas other than trying to strike a compromise with the kind of light and or getting her maybe into some sort of exercise program, dietitian, something where she loses the weight and feels better about herself because she was okay before.
Yep.
So when are you coming back?
Come back tomorrow morning. Mm. Well, of course, Drew. What time? What time are we meeting in the lobby tomorrow, buddy? What time?
5:15.
No. We're meeting in the lobby at 7 a.m., but... I'll not
which, by the way, is 5 a.m. your time?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I'll not be getting back to the room until 2:30 tonight. So the you know, and then when we land, it's like, hey, it's we got to go to Jimmy's show.
Oh my god,
we're just going straight into work. Yeah, it's gonna be horrible. I'm gonna write jokes all tired. Plus, they may need me to like co-host tomorrow night because Jack Osborne is supposed to be co-hosting, but they can't. ABC needs a work permit or something.
Because he's not 18.
Because he's not 18, although he does everything under the sun.
Oh my god!
But they're so freaked out because they're Disney, and who the hell knows? It's a disaster.
All right, time for another break.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam.
My gizzer.
Yeah. That's Dr. Drew over there with his gizzer. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm out here in Chicago. I was just talking to Vic, the engineer out here. Vic, we're complaining about cars, and I was telling him that, you know, in California, you're thinking about tripling the licensing fee for these cars, you know, so it's going to go through. And let me tell you something about anything I've ever, any experience I've ever had with anything that has to do with a car, whether it's any kinds of, whether it's traffic tickets, moving violations, registration fees, anything like that. There is no such thing as like a 6% cost of living kind of increase that we all get at work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, if you're working for the post office, you made $38,000 one year, then the next year you make $38,000 again, maybe plus an extra $130 or something, and if 5 years goes by, you get a 4% increase.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with cars goes up 400%.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't inch up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, moving violation, you know, it was $32, it's $400 now. They don't just keep inching up with everything else.
Wow. It's $400? I mean, really?
Well, depending on what you do.
Wow.
But yeah, they can be that high. Wow. I'm just saying whenever they do anything that has to do with an automobile, if it was, you know, if it was $128 last year and they want to raise it, it's not $140.
Wow.
It's now 275.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, what, you name me another facet of life where stuff goes up over 100% each time they do it. They're like, when is the last time moving violation went up $8? And it always falls under the heading of, well, we have to discourage this dangerous behavior, so we'll rape the public.
Hmm.
But Vic was telling me, he goes, so I was saying, you know, this car registration thing may go up, this car taxing may go up, they're going to triple the amount when you each year for your car.
Hmm.
And Vic's like, yeah, I know, I got a few cars, and it's almost $80 a car.
Oh,
it's like $80. I'm like at like $475 a car now.
Yeah, yeah.
$80.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! You couldn't own a donkey
in L.A.
In L.A. Yeah. It would charge you more than $80 to register a donkey.
If they really do that to the car registration fees, it's gonna be like some sort of some kind of reaction. You know what I mean?
Here's all L.A. is. Here's all L.A. is. Zero public transportation, horrible money management, and here's one group of people that needs this certain apparatus to get around in, or they lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rape them.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. Let the raping begin. Here's where we get the money. Like, what are you going to do, Drew? What are you going to do? Go drive your car out to Sacramento and have a sit-in? No. The thing just comes around and you pay triple what you paid last time.
Well, there's that, and then they get us in the rolling stops and the left.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, is it okay to raise the price of something that's already too expensive 300%? You just start, it's like the milk, it's no longer $1.89 a quart. It's now going to be $7.50 a quart.
Well, we are talking about recalling our governor because of this crap.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Where are we going here, Drew?
Let's go to Andrew, 16. Andrew?
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I have a friend, and, like, whenever I'm over, he, like, well, not all the time, but, like, sometimes he just pops in, like, some weird porn, and it's, like, really disgusting. But, like, he's cool and all, and I've known him my whole life, so I don't know what to tell him, you know?
The porn is disgusting, or just watching him watch it is disgusting?
No, it's, like, the stuff he's watching.
Anything about it that's we should know?
It's, like, bestiality.
I get bogus all the way here.
Yeah.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it!
You want to ask more questions?
It's either bogus or he doesn't care.
All right, so I get him back.
Which is really same as bogus. So do you really care?
Yeah, like, how should I tell him, you know?
What do you mean, how should I? Nah, bogus.
Yeah,
You've known him your whole life.
You just told us. How come you can't tell him?
Because, like, he flips out real easy. Like,
he flips out real easy when you ask him about his bestiality porn?
No, like, he thinks that, like, everything's so cool, and, like, most of the stuff he does do is cool, but, like...
Yeah, why don't you... You can't say to him, I just don't like that stuff. Just cut it out. Come on. Too much for me. Can't do that?
He flips easy. Now, yeah. Get rid of Andrew. He's a jack-off.
Here's Julio 20. Julio?
Yeah, hi. Oh,
hey, what's up?
I actually had two questions.
All right.
My first one is, this is usually when me and my girlfriend have intercourse, usually the oral is, she goes, I mean, she has an orgasm.
During oral sex,
and she's 19.
Well,
then,
whatever age she is, that would make her normal.
A what?
Okay, keep going.
Okay. I mean, is it weird that she usually has an orgasm with oral, but not with regular intercourse?
No, that's more than half of all women.
It's more than half of all women?
Yes.
Okay. No, it's just I noticed that whenever we do it somewhere weird, like one time we did it in, well, not at once, but we did it in the car, and she would go, like, a lot, like more than once.
During the oral sex?
No, regular sex.
She could have an orgasm in the car?
Yeah.
With the intercourse?
Yeah.
Why don't you get your bed done in Naugahyde or something? Put a headliner on it.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, no, she's excited by the danger.
Yeah, I think she was excited, yeah. That's why, I mean, it was a little bit, it was exciting for me, too, because it was like kind of like, hey, we're in a car, you know. But with when we do it here in our bed, in our room, it doesn't go with her, you know, it doesn't go for her, and it's only through oral when she does.
Yeah, all right. She's a thrill seeker. Why don't you take her up on the roof?
Yeah, but most of them, they can just have it with oral, and that's that.
Yeah, this is a twist.
Yeah, I don't quite get it, but what's your second question?
Okay, my second question is about male pattern baldness.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, my dad's not bald, but he's like half of that way there. And he's like 50-something. I mean, I know my chances are pretty high that I'm going to get bald, too. Is there any way that I could change that or have...
Yeah,
like,
start using Rogaine now.
Rogaine now?
Yeah, and also Proscar, what do they call it? They have a name for
what
it. Propecia. What's that?
Avacor?
Nah.
That shampoo?
I mean, just use Propecia. That's actually stood up to scientific scrutiny. Avacor is another testosterone-type blocking agent. Crystal, 19?
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, so last night I lost my virginity in a one-night stand. And
19.
Yeah, I know. One in a million, I swear. Anyhow.
But one in a million, then you let it all go on a one-night stand.
Oh, yeah, Drew.
I'm just curious.
I'm not happy with myself, but when I went pee this morning, it hurt, and I looked, and I had a sore spot. It was a red little bloody spot. And is that because of the... friction that happened, or why is it there?
It's probably God punishing you.
You need to have that checked out.
Okay.
It may be an STD. It's a little bit quick for something to develop, and it could be.
Oh, that's friction. Come on.
Probably. It could be a urine infection too. You're getting anything?
It wasn't even normal. He went normal for, I guess, a virgin. It was doggy style. Like, I was on my side and he wasn't behind me.
He was behind you.
What was not?
He was behind me.
Why isn't that normal?
No,
it's doggy style.
Most of my friends who have lost their virginity did it missionary style first.
I see.
So you guys, you started doggy.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. That's like the first time you ever go skiing, you go on the Black Diamond Run. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'd rather see young people pushing the envelope this way than with all the other weird stuff they're getting. You know what I mean?
I like this guy, by the way. I like the cut of this fella's jib. He's going to de-virginize you from behind. Did he know you're a virgin?
He did, but he didn't believe I was. He's like, if you're a virgin, how come it went in so easily? I'm like, well, sorry.
You guys are great, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he doesn't believe me, but it's, I'm not going to talk to him for about another year or so.
Oh, my God. Why? Why not?
He's in a band, so I see him about once a year.
Oh,
he's a family friend, so.
Any band
what instrument does he play?
He's a singer.
All right. See why you guys should start bands?
Right. Yeah. You notice she has no remorse. She's like completely fine with her.
No, because she's in a band.
No. I feel really bad. Like, I've waited so long, and I, you know, wanted to have, not perfect, you know, it's not movie-style crap, but...
Yeah, but if you can't have that, it's going to be a guy that's on the road in a band.
Did you enjoy yourself?
You know, whatever.
Did you enjoy it?
That's another reason. Yeah, I kind of did.
You did?
I kind of did. Then I felt really bad.
Crystal, I don't believe you feel bad.
No,
I think you're telling yourself you should feel bad. You don't have to... Crystal, why do you have to feel bad? Why?
Why do I feel bad?
No, you don't feel bad. Why must you feel bad?
Okay, I must feel bad because I've waited so long.
Yeah, but you don't feel bad, so let it go.
No, you do not.
No, you're trying to feel guilty. You enjoyed it. It was fine. It was great.
No,
fine.
But this is my problem. I don't want to see the disappointment in my friend's eyes. Like, yeah, I just don't want to see her disappointed in me.
What if you see envy?
Yeah, who's friends?
I don't think it's going to be envy. Definitely don't think it's going to be envy.
Are your friends virgins?
No, she's not a virgin.
What? Okay, this is one girl?
No. Well, like, she's my best friend.
But why can she not be a virgin and you have to be one?
No, I don't have to be one. But I've just waited so long, and I've definitely passed on a lot of opportunities.
All right.
Well, you enjoyed this. This was fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's all right. I just hope you didn't get an STD.
Did he give you any oral sex?
He did.
That's nice. Any chance you're pregnant?
No. None.
He used a condom?
No.
You're on the pill?
I was on the pill.
You were on
that? This is pretty... It was raw dog.
Raw dog, yeah.
What does that mean?
And then no condom.
No condom.
Yeah, but
no.
And you're on the pill.
I was on the pill. I haven't been on the pill for like a month.
So you may be pregnant.
I could be.
Yeah, so get the morning after pill. That's ridiculous. Now you are being silly.
Oh, I told you. But what if...
Right.
How long should I wait before I get an appointment?
Get the morning pill. The sooner you get it, the more... You have 72 hours to get it. The sooner you get it, the more effective it's going to be. It's more effective in the first 24 hours than the second and third. You could tell Crystal was fine. She enjoyed it. She liked it. She was happy about it. But I got to feel bad. I got to feel bad. I got to feel guilty.
For my friend,
I got to feel guilty.
I think she's a little bit... she's a little bit giddy about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she nailed a rock star.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
I mean, maybe not a rock star, but, you know, in her mind, in her town and whatever, a rock star. I like that doggy angle. And then the guy, like, guys are so smooth, like, hey, you're no virgin because you're, all yoked out down there and slippery. Like, the guy's accusing her, like, really? You can't just nail her doggy style and hit the road? You gotta question her virginity? You're too big in the coos to be a virgin. Have you had a few kids?
Oh.
Be honest.
Oh.
What a smooth talker. Drew, could you ever imagine just like broaching that with somebody?
No.
You can't be a virgin. You're too big down there.
No.
All right.
Anyway, here we go. Caitlin, 18.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Okay, first off, if I had gotten the Tori Amos flowers, I would be like totally psyched. So I don't know what was up with that one.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I sent her packing a short 2 years later.
Right. but my question actually had to do with dating. Because, okay, for the past 2 years or so, I've been with, like, a steady boyfriend. It was 14 months with one and then 6 months with another. And then I just went on, like, my first date, basically, in 2 years on Friday night.
Wait. You mean because you've had boyfriends for 2 years, you've not gone on any dates?
It's not been like it's been different, you know, like I knew that I could call them the next day and it wouldn't be like weird, like I felt like I was stalking the guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like this is the first time, like, I don't know, I did end up calling him the next day because like whatever, there was this band playing that I wanted to go see, but I don't know, it felt weird. Like, it felt like it wasn't my right place to call him.
All right.
So I was kind of, like, calling about, like, dating rules or something, if there was, like, tips you guys can give.
The most, I guess the biggest tip we would give you is if he is into you, he will respond. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, he has been. And, it, like, he's a really awesome guy, and, like, the night was
no,
perfect.
No, forget about how you experience him. It's how he experiences you. And if he is into you, you calling the next day is a gift. He couldn't be happier. If on the other hand, you're sort of one of many, or he's just kind of dating around, then it's a little bit of an intrusion and kind of a hassle, and he might be having to sort of manage you, and he might seem kind of pushing away and backing away. If he is not into dating you any further, you won't hear from him anymore.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I mean, you know what? I think a lot of people get caught up in terms of the dating tips. They get caught up in what to do to make somebody like them.
Can't do
and
that.
And really what they need to focus on is honestly appraising and reading the other person
That's
and
right.
the messages they're sending.
That's right. So it's sort of how do they feel about you, and sort of what are they, what kind of dating mode are they in?
You know? And here's the bottom line. If somebody is interested in you, especially a guy, especially a young guy,
oh.
I mean, hey, if you're talking about a guy who's, you know, maybe his marriage of 12 years just broke up because he found out his wife had a long-term affair with his best friend or something, and now he's got his two kids at home. If there's something like that and the guy says, hey, I'm sorry, I like you, we need to take it slow, or I need a little time to think, that's a situation where maybe you could listen to him. But if there's some 22-year-old guy who's free and single and there's nothing going on in his life, he will be on top of you if he is into you. And
okay.
I mean literally and figuratively, right, Drew?
Absolutely.
I mean, he will
in
he
every
will
way.
He will cut class. He will call in sick to work. He will drive across hill and dale to get to you and be with you if he's into you.
Okay, then it kind of moves into the second thing. What's the sex rule?
I don't think you have to set a rule like it's got to be 3.5 dates or anything like that.
Whatever feels right. We lose her?
No. Well, we lost my connection for a second.
There she is.
Yeah, it's whatever feels right. I mean, the rule of thumb is if you got a guy and you really like the guy and you're thinking long term, you know, see if you can stretch it out over the course of a few dates before you give it up. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not exactly
it couldn't
giving
hurt.
It up. So.
What do you mean it's not giving it up?
Well, I don't know. It's like it's something that I've just been used to with past boyfriends, and that's another thing that feels weird. You know, like it feels like I have to act different around, you know, somebody that I'm now just dating.
If you can trust a guy, you don't have to. People are trying to sort of what's called feel each other out. You got to figure out who this guy is and what he wants in the relationship, and you know, see if you guys kind of fit together before you get too close. That's the idea. It's not you have to act differently. If you trust him and he seems to be completely open and as into things as you are, then whatever. But if not, then you got to have to kind of figure it out.
Yeah. And look, it ain't rocket science. If he's into you, he's into you.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about freaking out. Drew, have you, and you've done a lot of dating. You're a passionate, passionate, passionate man. Have you ever been... And we've all had girls do something a little weird or freak us out a little bit, but have you ever had anyone you were into drive you away because you found out they were into you?
No.
You know, like you went out on a date with somebody, you had a great date, you were really into the person, you were planning on calling them in a couple days, and they called you first?
Of course not.
No, it doesn't freak you out. You're glad they called, right?
Like I said, it's a gift.
Yeah, it's a guy, and there's so much made of this, and all this crappy Cosmos and Vogues and all this other nonsense trying to brainwash women. Guys, we're not like you broads. We're not going to be freaked out because we find out you're into us.
You can't trick us into liking you. You can't make us change our feelings.
Yes, both huge fallacies. Here's the deal. You're no different than anything we want, whether it's an apartment we want, whether it's a car we want. If we want it, we want it. And if we looked at a car and we liked the car and we're planning on getting a car and the salesman called us and said, you know, I could get it to you a couple days early, we wouldn't be freaked out. We'd just go get it a couple days early.
Yeah.
But if it was a car we really weren't into, you couldn't put an antenna ball in a pine-shaped air freshener in there and make us like it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely true. This is Ashley, 17.
Hi. First of all, I just want to say that I'm a huge fan of your show and that you guys are awesome, and I love the funny state of people, so. Okay, my question is that I'm 17 years old, and I've been dating my...
Hold on a second, Drew. Put her on hold there.
Anderson ran to the phones there.
She dropped the S-bomb.
Second sentence.
4.5 seconds into the call, she drops the S-bomb.
But she was making a compliment.
But it was the context of a compliment.
It was a friendly S-bomb, but nonetheless an S-bomb. Okay, let's hear what she has to say now.
All right, Ashley, no more S or F words, okay?
I'm sorry about that.
Unacceptable.
My question is that I've been dating my boyfriend, who's 18, for about 8 months, and we just recently had sex for the first time, and he took my virginity about a month ago. And what happens is sometimes I can orgasm during sex, and sometimes I can't. And when I don't and he orgasms before me, he gets really sad, depressed. I don't know what to say to him to make him feel like it's not your fault.
Here's the problem. This is, again, back to that male-female stuff. His assumption is you would feel the way he would feel if he wasn't able to have an orgasm, which means basically he would feel like it was the end of the world.
Okay.
He doesn't understand. He cannot have the experience of the receptive experience in sex being satisfying without an orgasm.
Okay.
Women have that, men don't. And men don't even have any idea what that is. You just know it exists.
Right. Okay.
So his thinking is, I've let you down hugely because I would feel let down.
Exactly. And it doesn't.
But he's 17. He has no experience with the fact that women have this other experience that sex can be satisfying without orgasm.
Right.
It's impossible. It's like incomprehensible to a man.
So what do I say to him when he?
You
gets
tell
like,
him we're different.
Tell me, you ever
talk to us on Loveline? Adam told you.
Yeah.
Adam told you.
Tell him Drew said that.
Okay.
Tell me Ed Crane Pool said it was that way. All right, let's take a little break. Huh, buddy?
Let's do.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Quiet.
Yeah. Drew's favorite song.
I can't hear what you're talking.
All right. You good, buddy?
More?
Yeah.
Right. I'm good.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah.
I'm out here in Chicago, by the way. What's up there, Drew?
That's very exciting. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Aaron 19. Aaron?
Oh, hey, how you doing?
We're good.
Good.
Hey, yeah. Ready for my problem?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Like, my girlfriend, right? Like, we started having sex right now because she just turned 18 and all.
Yep.
And, like, while we're having sex, she's telling me that it really feels good and stuff, and I'm telling her that I'm about to ejaculate and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want me to stop. She wants me to keep the same condom on because I want to go and change it to start fresh. But after I ejaculate, she wants me to keep it on, and I was just wondering if it was safe enough to keep it on.
She wants you to sort of keep going and not break your stride. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't lose your erection after ejaculating?
No, I don't. I keep it up.
Well,
nice.
It's not safe. That's how condoms rip, and they fall off too, and then the content spills, and now you got a problem.
Yeah, because that's what I keep on trying to tell her. Because we talk about it afterwards sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm telling her, you know, that like.
Well, sounds like she needs to get on the pill or something. Let's find some alternative means, maybe for you guys.
But do you think I should actually tell her like no to stop, and then actually go and like. Change it real fast and come back and like make
Adam,
it work.
Adam, this is again the condom loader. I swear to God, I have to get to work on that.
Well, please.
I'm putting it in my schedule. Work on condom loader. I swear to God.
So, do you want me to like sit down and talk to her and tell her that like we should start doing that and not have me like ejaculate in it and keep it on?
You just stop and change it. Just do that.
All right.
You don't have to sit and talk with her.
Well, wait a minute. Get rid of Aaron, by the way.
Yeah.
We don't need our callers.
No kidding.
What is the chance that the condom's going to break after you ejaculate in it? Is it higher, or is it just the fact that it's going to roll off?
It's going to slip off. That's the big thing.
It's not so much the breakage.
It could, because it's moving more. There's more something. There's, you know, something in there. But you know, it's the breaking that's really the big. The sliding off that's the big thing.
Right. So he can keep his same boner and go get a new condom.
Good times.
Yeah, but look, if they're getting it on this frequently, maybe it's time for her to get on the birth control pill.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying, Drew.
Yeah. Hear my clicking?
Yeah, what is that?
That's me putting the condom loader on my schedule.
All right. I'm going to hold my breath.
Here is Lauren, 21.
Hi. My question is, last Saturday, I had an abortion. And on Wednesday, like, I had blood in my stool. I want to know if that's normal or what.
What do you think?
I don't know, because it's a lot of blood.
Yeah, that would not be normal, right?
And I went to the doctor on Thursday, and he said, oh, we'll just wait 2 weeks, and then we'll see.
You sure it was in the stool, not just a vaginal discharge?
It was inside of the stool. Like, it was actually inside.
Do you have any hemorrhoids?
He looked inside of there, and he said there's a one that's microscopic.
A small hemorrhoid.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's...
So that could be where the bleeding's coming from. Did they do any blood tests on you to make sure that you're clotting?
No, he said within 2 weeks, if so, he'll have to do a camera test.
Yeah, you need to have a scope done, for sure.
Okay, because it also happened on Wednesday and Thursday, and then, like, I
sounds like you should be taking some iron, too. But they need to look up there and see why you're having this. That's
what?
Not normal.
What might this be to do with the abortion?
Sometimes there can be clotting mechanism problems. Sometimes it can be, I can't think of any way it would really have anything to do with that other than the hemorrhoids.
He mentioned a microscopic hemorrhoid.
I don't think that's what he said.
Is there such a hemorrhoid that cannot be seen by the human eye?
No. They're internal or they're external.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Good times. This is Chrissy.
I like the idea that she examined the core of her stool, though. She actually got to the nougat part of the stool. You don't see chicks doing a lot of that work, you know what I mean?
No, it's more of a guy thing, eh?
Stool dissection?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
Chrissy.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Okay, I had a question. I'm 21, and I have a friend, Justin, and he's just now starting to date this girl who has herpes.
I don't know. The name came out a little too much.
Oh, right.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that. You can't start throwing people's names around and then attaching venereal diseases to them.
No.
Screwballs. So, look, this is either one of two scenarios. Either thing, she's got to be punished, right?
Yeah.
One is... this is bogus.
Yeah.
Two, she's just so stupid. She's saying herpes and a guy's name and who the guy's dating.
Yeah.
Either way, she's screwed.
Yeah.
Hang up on her.
Afraid so. Okay. Vicky, 19.
I said hang up on her, Drew, not destroy a satellite.
Hi, guys.
What's that?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I went to Vegas with my boyfriend, and we got in a big argument. He was drunk, and he beat me. Well, he just started stalking me.
Wow. She started socking you.
Wow.
In front of his whole family, and of course I couldn't stay, you know, so I came in the bus and I don't
hold
know.
On, hold on a second. He started beating you in front of his family?
Yes, he did, and they held him back and everything, and it was a big old drama. Like, I was so embarrassed, you know. He had never done that before, but I don't know what got into him. And now he wrote me an email apologizing, and he didn't even, like, you know.
Well, here's the deal. Either was he doing drugs that night?
No.
Drunk.
Was he drunk?
He was drunk. Yeah. Drunk.
Okay, so either this is part of his alcoholism, and he really truly didn't know what he was doing, or he is a violent abuser. In either case, this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse, and you should stay away unless he is in some form of treatment. That's it, period. You do not go back to this, because it may stay quiet for a while, but it will get worse, guaranteed.
Yeah, he promised me that, you know, he's not...
Vicky?
Huh?
It's going... I don't care what he says.
He promised.
Yeah, it's going to get worse unless he is in treatment for quite a while. So just, you know, that's it. That's the only condition to which you go back.
Well, listen, a couple things, too. The fact that, you know, she sort of made a distinction between, you know, slapping her or backhanding her and slugging her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sort of coming at her, both fists clenched and swinging.
The family had to hold him back?
Number one. Number two, doing it in front of the family? Excuse me, Mom. Got to put the slap down on the old lady. You understand? Remember what Dad used to do to you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do the same thing now.
There we go.
Chip off the old block. You're ridiculous. And she, you know, she's coming right back too.
Oh, she's building a case. Building a case.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't do it again.
I don't know why she asked us if she intends to go back already.
All right. All right. Who's next?
I'm looking here. This is Melanie, 21. Melanie? Melanie, 21, are you there? All right, Nikki. Nikki?
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
My question is, just want to know if after a sex change operation, you could get an orgasm.
This is Nikki the chick?
Unfortunately, I'm not a chick, you know?
Yeah. You want to become a chick?
Yeah.
You're a male.
You're a dude chick right now, right?
Huh?
She's dude.
Yeah, I look like a chick, though, guaranteed.
Dude chick who wants to become chick.
Yeah.
Dude chick bro.
Chick pro, that's for sure.
Pro. No, she's just either a chick bro or a dude chick.
I see.
Uh-oh.
She wants to go chick.
I want to be a chick, yeah.
And are you on medication?
Yeah.
And you don't get orgasms now?
Well, I do. I just want to know if I get the surgery, will I be able to get an orgasm?
As far as I know, yeah. I don't think people would do that if they really couldn't.
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
We always talk about the difference, you know, sort of in mechanics between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And we know with a guy, like I said, guy could be at a funeral of his mother, put some peanut butter on his dork, have a dog lick it off, and have an orgasm in the middle of the eulogy. Because of the pure physical sensation.
Yes.
Right?
And women, when you say that, don't hear it. They believe you're being funny.
Right.
No, you're not being funny. You're speaking the truth.
Well, it's a little bit funny.
It's funny the way you...
Yeah, I mean, it's funny.
It's a funny scene, but
it's clever.
But it's real. It's a reality.
Right. Now, women don't need the mechanical part.
So much.
Some do more than others, but it's a crapshoot. And some women, you know, psychologically, it can be very exciting. Like that caller we had earlier, just doing it in the car was exciting enough to give her an orgasm. Yes. But what happens when a guy becomes a chick?
I know.
I don't think the guy's going to get the chick mind and just be able to squeeze off those orgasms, you know, at the gym.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, but yet they're on estrogen, so it's going to change. It can be different.
And what do they make the clitoris out of? Like a Mike and Ike? What do they do?
I don't know.
They cut the penis off, right?
Shave it down, I think.
What do you mean you shave it down?
I don't know what the procedure is. I don't know. I don't.
Is the head of the penis become the clitoris?
I imagine.
You do imagine. So now you got a huge clitoris?
I don't know.
Drew, look into that, would you?
I don't. Yeah.
You don't want to look into it, do
you? No.
I know, because it hurts your teeth, right?
That's right.
Can any doctor who does that really claim they're a doctor? You know, these humanitarians, I know they think they're doing the Lord's work by taking women that are trapped inside, or men that are trapped inside women's bodies, or women and trapped inside men's bodies, but it's all BS. These are screwed up people. You ever met one of these transvestites that wasn't screwed up?
No, but I've met some that actually are happier as the other sex.
All right.
Be that as it may. So here is Dale. Dale?
Yes.
What's going on, Dale?
Hi. I had a question. I have been bulimic now for about maybe 4 years, and I have been wondering about if it affects you as far as if you wanted to have children, if it affects you that way.
Yep.
Definitely?
Not definitely, but it can.
It can? In what way?
Well,
depleting your body of nutrients? Or?
Obviously, if your body's struggling to survive, its ability to handle another system is extremely unlikely.
Right.
Neither of you would survive that, A. So obviously, your body adjusts by making it more difficult for that to happen. And one of the ways it does is by causing premature ovarian failure, for instance.
Is there any
and it gives you makes you
that,
lose your was there what?
Is there any like type of a sign that I would notice, or would there be like irregular periods or anything like that?
You might lose your period, but it's hard to diagnose this in the middle of bulimia because usually you lose your period anyway.
Right.
So anyway, you're messing with not only your reproductive potential but your survival. So.
Well, right. I mean, this is something obviously that I want to quit doing. I guess I'm under the impression that I can just like stop, and that I just want to know if there's going to be like long-term effects.
You're wrong. It's a chronic illness and needs treatment. People don't just stop it.
Right, because it's more mental.
If you're not in treatment, you're in danger.
Okay.
All right. If fertility is that important to you, that it motivates you to get help, then go do that because that's important.
I tell you, this eating disorder, it really does, to the layperson, seem like something you could stop.
Yeah, I know.
But from doing this show, I've learned that it gets a grip on these girls about as tight as, like heroin on guys.
Any other addiction.
Or girls. Okay. Yeah, any other addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really weird because it's like, just don't throw up, all right, sweet pants? You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Don't engage in this horrible, horrible behavior that, you know, us people with out of eating disorder do once every 3 years, and it's the worst 10 seconds of our life. Just stop doing that. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they can't seem to do it.
It's like telling an alcoholic, stop drinking, or a heroin addict, stop using drugs. Look what's happening to you. Can't you see it? Yeah, but.
I know, but booze is so good, Drew.
I know, Ed. I've been talking to you about it for a long time.
Oh, sweet, sweet booze.
The cigarette. I like the new cigarette commercials that has all. You've seen this, where they have these sort of quotes from people. I swear, everything I've heard come out of your mouth, they put on the air on the screen there, which is, I only smoke at night, I only smoke on the weekends, I only smoke after dinner, I only smoke 2 cigarettes, I'm not a smoker, and it says, if you smoke, you're a smoker.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, it's no different than eating donuts or chili fries. If you have one a day, or if you eat a 1,000 buckets of chili fries and donuts every day. No different. You're still a donut eater. Still a chili fry eater. Right, Drew? You're a doctor.
Same. No different.
No different. This is how doctors work. You smoke 3 cigarettes a day, you smoke 3 packs a day. Doesn't matter. You're a smoker. And I say, use the cheeseburger analogy. Exactly the same thing, right? 1 is the same as 100.
It's a little bit more like a dose of a toxin or a poison. It's like, rather than, because it's like a little bit, yeah, right, you might get by. Might not.
All right.
Might not. But the cheeseburger and stuff, you're going to get by.
You will. Well, no different. 1 in 1,000. All right, let's take a break.
Let's do.
There, buddy. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Get back to the phone. What do you say, buddy?
As soon as I'm done listening.
All right, sorry.
It's always up and down. Interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Line 2 is ringing, not blinking here, guys. Let's go to John, 25.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's happening, John?
Hey. All right, check it out. I fell asleep while I was getting a BJ from my girl, and she's pissed.
Yeah. Were you drunk?
No.
Wow.
I was tired.
Oh, my God. Somebody hold the phones. I can't believe that.
We need them back, too, Ann.
Yeah.
ICP.
Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
You're tired. Guys do this.
Oh, man. She's just irate.
Yeah, all right. Well, tell her to get over it.
I mean, really. What do I say?
All right. Now it's bogus.
Yeah. It just sounds bogus.
It's really not.
Well, what have you said?
I'm sorry.
And what does she say?
She's doing nothing. She's pissed.
How long ago did this happen? How long?
About 2 months or so ago.
And she has...
She's still pissed.
Still pissed?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well,
dump her.
There you go.
Dump her. It's over.
That is a bogus call.
Yeah, it's an idiot. 2 months ago. Still pissed.
Okay, this is Jared, 20.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. I've been with my girlfriend about 6 months right now, and we have a pretty active sex life, except like a quarter of the time is like the only time I can really maintain an erection. Most of the other times we get going and I just kind of peter out after about like 10 minutes or so.
You say a quarter of the time?
Yeah, it's actually like a quarter of the time is the only time I can like keep going the entire way.
Okay, Drew, let me just get this straight. A quarter of the time is the only time he can keep going all the way.
correct?
Yeah. Is that what he said? So, yeah,
so three it. Quarters of the time you lose your erection.
Right.
Okay.
How long into it?
Like 10, 15 minutes, depending on what's going on.
Then no ejaculation, just you lose your erection.
Right.
Are you on a minute? Well, first of all, 15 minutes is pretty good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the other times, it's like nothing. Like, it's not that hard. I don't know what it is, because with past girlfriends I've had, I didn't really have this issue. And it's not like we're doing anything that's boring. We're pretty active. We do a lot of different
things. Hang on a second. 15 minutes, depending what's going on? What does that mean?
Well, like, sometimes, just depending on the mood we're in, we'll switch positions, stuff like that.
And if you... Adam, are you following this?
Sort of. I'm only a quarter interested in this call.
Are you on medication?
No, nothing.
Okay, there's something going on here that's, I mean, Drew, I don't think you've been saying the age of these gents. Well, 20. I'm guessing 20. He's a young man. If at age 20, you're having trouble keeping it up most of the time with your young girlfriend, and you're not on any medications or anything, there's something going on.
Seriously?
Are you anxious? Nervous?
I'm not sure, because I don't feel any different than with the other girlfriends I've been with, and I haven't had any issues like this with them.
Anything else going on in your life right now? Are you sleeping okay? Any stress in your life?
Yeah, stress, but I mean, I guess that could be it, but the stress has only been for the past couple months, and it's kind of been this way for the past, like, 4 or 5 months.
And what's the stress from?
A lot of issues with, like, work, and I do some volunteer work, and that's really kind of going crappy right now.
Are you? Do you do drugs?
No drugs or anything.
Hold on. How badly could volunteer work go? Give me a worst-case scenario. You quit? You don't get that big nothing paycheck every month?
Actually, what it is I volunteer with the police department, and I've been implicated in something that happened that I didn't do, and I have to go testify to court, and it's kind of a big deal when you're only 20 and you haven't done anything wrong, and it can potentially screw your entire career.
That could weigh on you.
All right. Yeah. All right, so I don't know if there's a good answer here. I mean, maybe he should get a medical evaluation.
Yeah, for sure he should, because that's always a possibility. But he goes for 15 minutes.
But who knows what his version of 15 minutes is,
yeah,
you know?
That, and he certainly has plenty of stress in his life now to cause this. I wonder if whatever had happened... When did this thing happen that was so horrible? Or this thing that you're being tried for, called to court?
I'm not being tried for anything. It's just somebody told me something about.
All right. When did it happen?
Like March.
So it's like 5 months ago.
Right, but nothing happened with it until like April, like late April, early May.
Was it way in your mind or anything?
Not really. Okay. I didn't even really think about it. I didn't think.
Forget
anything.
It. All right. Yeah, listen, 20-year-old guy can't keep the boner going most of the time.
Yeah.
I think might have to go in and get an evaluation.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, sometimes you just get an evaluation to find out nothing's wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, then you go back home and you realize there's nothing wrong with you, and then maybe you get it up next time.
He basically needs to have a thyroid function, prolactin level, make sure that the blood supply is normal, that there's the prostate's okay. Just make sure
they got to take the gay aptitude test.
Melanie, 21. Melanie?
Hello?
Hi, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Kind of a two-part question. My boyfriend smokes a lot of pot. He's really dedicated to school. He graduated college with like a 3.89, but he's not responsible as far as with me. Like, he's really forgetful. He's kind of immature, and that's kind of the second part of my question. You always hear that guys mature slower than girls do. And I want to know if his forgetfulness and irresponsibility, is that something that I can wait for to change, or is it something that I...
How much pot is he smoking?
Several times a day.
All right, so this could all be... One of the things that pot does is arrest your development. If you started smoking when he was 14, you basically have a 14-year-old you're dealing with now. Secondly, it can screw with your motivation, and so you can not want to do things and forget to do things. So this
it's not strange that he can... graduate with a 3.89 and get into law school.
Absolutely,
absolutely
not. That it really does not affect cognitive performance. Amazingly, it affects memory, and usually sort of procedural memory. So it's you forget where you put your car keys and things like that. But learning tends to be okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So even though he says he wants to put so much effort into school, and then he says he wants to put effort into our relationship, it doesn't carry over, or?
No, this is a different kind of effort. This is trying to remember to do the procedural things associated with a relationship that he can't remember to do or doesn't have the motivation to do.
Okay. So if he stops, will he start together?
He will get very depressed for about 3 months, and things will get worse for a while, and then it will get better. Then he's still a problem, he's just not a good caretaking person. I mean, some people are not available in relationships. They don't take your feelings really into account properly.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's not, you can expect him to change in, you know, over the course of the next 12 to 14 years.
Yeah, in terms of maturity.
I know you're looking for the next 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Good luck.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, and listen, ladies, 21, 22-year-old guys, they're guys. They're not men. You know, I mean, Drew, look back at yourself when you're 22.
Yeah.
But you're ready for anything.
24, 25, you're pretty much there, though.
Well, you start getting it together, but, I mean, you really, in terms of being how a woman wants you to be in a relationship.
Oh, no.
That stuff ain't happening at 22.
No way. Break time again.
All right, Drew, why don't you wrap it up for me, would you, buddy?
Should I try calling you later, or are we done?
You can call me on my cell.
All right, good times.
All right, good times.
Don't turn that down. Someday, I swear to God, I'm going to figure out what the F they're saying. I swear to God. I'm going to take it and slow it down or something. I'm figuring it out. Oh, I love that stuff. Coming up later this week, Carrie Kasem. I guess that'll be tomorrow. And then Brooke Burns, not to be confused with Brooke Burke, who will be on the following night. So we have Brooke Burns after Carrie Kasem. Brooke Burns, you know, from Dog Eat Dog, as Adam described her, smoking hot. And then Brooke Burke, she has a new show coming up, or is it just... She's from the Wild On, isn't she? She's doing the Wild On stuff. And Adam will be back from Chicago, hopefully tomorrow morning. So until tomorrow, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
What do they make the clitoris out of? Like a Mike and Ike?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.